Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. You guys know what that means. I am joined by Casey Bubba at BDNTrick on the Twitter machine. Casey, what's going on, man?
Not much, my friend. Just another beautiful week. I got the Masters going this weekend. If you're a golf fan, it's what it's all about. NFL week 10, got some college football. Baseball's trying to stay active. You know, just the normal stuff.
I do have a question. What is this shirt you're wearing here? I don't approve of the color at all.
Oh, it's a golf tournament fundraiser I do. So
all right, I guess for a fundraiser it's okay.
Well, the thing is, we give out a shirt every year, and this is the city's high school's colors. So
Dodger blue.
Yeah, I get roped into it. It stinks.
This is how the Welsh started with this stuff.
No, do you just the shirt? Bite your tongue.
Okay, all right. Just making sure. Got it. See, got to poke a little bit. Make sure you're not there. But never. I tell you what, the Dodgers, have made some mistakes in the past, but this White Sox hiring Tony La Russa, we talked about how bad it was last week, and now we get to hear this great story about another DUI in Arizona here, and it's the second one. If you don't remember his last one, he fell asleep at the stoplight last time. That was his last DUI in Arizona. So this one wasn't as bad. This time he just said, "Do you know who I am? I'm a Hall of Famer baseball person. I'm a Hall of Famer, brother."
Do you see these rings? Is what he was
do
saying.
You see these rings. I mean, this, and they knew about it. They knew about this DUI. I don't understand. It just makes the signing even more baffling.
Yep, it's crazy. Rick Renteria gets second in the AL Manager of the Year, gets fired, and they hire 80-year-old Tony La Russa coming off a second DUI that they say they knew about ahead of time. It's absolutely baffling. I don't know how this is a good move at all for the White Sox. They brought in a good pitching coach from the Giants that he's young and he knows some of these pitchers, so that helps. But I have no idea what they're thinking with La Russa. Like, he has pictures on Kenny Williams or something.
I mean, something weird is going on there, but obviously we're not big fans of this signing, but look, we're Hall of Famers, brother. So stick with us here. We'll be right back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking the...
In this league.
Break it down.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back in this league on the Sports Grid. Hour three. That means I, Scott Bogman, here with my friend out, Casey Bubba. Follow us on the Twitter machine at Bogman Sports for me, at BDentric for Bubba. The Masters are going on this week, Bubba. I mean, obviously, I want you to promote all of your great work. Do that first and then tell us about the Masters, because I'm not a golf guy and I have no idea what's happening.
Well, first, you can find me on Twitter, like you said, at BDentric. You'll get all the goods there. Bench with Bubba podcast 1 to 2 times a week right now, doing fantasy baseball 2021 work. I've been releasing my fantasy baseball early rankings over at fantasysportsdegens.com. I've been doing other written content at Rotoballer for fantasy baseball and NFL DFS. I have the always pressing PGA DFS podcast coming out every Monday or Tuesday with myself and my buddy Jesse, and other fun stuff all over the place. So just check me out on Twitter. I'll tweet it out, all kinds of good stuff there. And the Masters, if you're a golf fan, it's like the mecca of, like, it's like the Daytona of NASCAR. This is what you want. There's four majors a year. This is the big one, Augusta, Georgia. It's at the same venue every year. It's weird with no fans there watching it. It's a whole, like, I haven't been weirded out by no fans at golf events until this one. This one feels a little odd, to say the least. It's a prestigious field, only 92 golfers this year. Like, if you're a past winner, you basically get to play it anytime you want. Like, there's a 70-year-old playing in it this year. It's just a weird tradition place. But the place is amazing. You have to get drawn to get tickets. I've never been drawn. I've had friends drawn. I've never been drawn. It's awesome. And the best of the best are there, and they're competing very, very well this week.
Remind me to enter my name in the drawing. So, because I would love to sell those. Those sound,
you'd make a lot of money. Because face value, depending on the day you get or whatever, is usually at least four figures out the gate before you can sell them. Like, that's the problem. It's one of those bucket list things where it's gonna be hard for me to say no to. But between airfare, lodging, they put the lodging through the roof for that week, like through the roof. So airfare, lodging, and just the one day you go, it's gonna be a trip that my wife might leave me for.
Yeah. Well, you got a kid now, so that you sell those tickets and that money goes right into the college fund, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it would have to. What are the other three majors? The Masters, and what are the other three ones?
The British Open, they call it the Open Championship now. I still call it the British Open. And that's one of my favorites because, A, it's on first thing in the morning, and, B, the weather gets wild. The golf courses are really cool. It's a different animal over there. They have the U.S. Open, which is run by the USGA. I won't get into all the specifics on that, but they usually make it a very difficult golf course and very challenging. And then there's the Players' Championship, which it was like at a municipal golf course in San Francisco last year, a really nice one, but they move it all over the country and kind of give you more of a feel of the what the common folk could try to play. Obviously, they spruced it up for the pros. But those are your four majors, and then they have a couple other events that they consider like the fifth major. But the four main ones, that's them.
Us common folk.
Yes.
This is a course that common folk play on. So we're going to be putting one of them Masters events, one of them four majors events here. So,
there you go. Yes, 10 Cup.
We got to make all that grass greener, boy. They're all coming.
Exactly.
All gotta them get some finer paint. People. Give me that spray paint, boy. It looks green. It'll work. I haven't. I am the worst. I mean, I don't have great coordination anyway, but I cannot golf to save my life. It's expensive. The only time it's not expensive out here is actually in the summer, where because it's 115 degrees outside and nobody wants to golf. So I could then, but then I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. Let me learn how to golf when it's 115 degrees out, lugging this bag around all day. Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, heat stroke sounds fun.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm a pass on golf, but I understand the appeal. You know, yeah. I get it. So glad I have someone here to keep. So it started what day, or has it started?
Thursday. Majority of golf tournaments start on Thursdays. They end on Sundays. After the first 2 days, the field gets cut down in size for the weekend, and they'll go from there. So when people are listening to the show, there should be three rounds in the book going to Championship Sunday. And the big boys most of the big boys are competing. Like, the leaderboard's pretty nice right now. So Sunday should be a very, very fun one. And they move the timing up because usually this event's in April. It's usually like the first weekend in April, obviously stuff happened in 2020 if you live under a rock. So that's the first time it's ever been this time of the year. So to not mess with CBS and the NFL, they are making it, I think they finish at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific. They move the times up so that they can get the afternoon football game in and not mess with the Sunday night game as well. So it's one of those games, if you're a sports nut, you can wake up watching golf and then you can go into football the rest. Like it's a beautiful day.
Was that Brady Manning, or was that Brady and Tiger? What was it? I can't remember.
It was Brady Phil, I think. Brady Phil, no, it was Peyton Phil. I can't remember. But Peyton Manning, Phil, Tiger, and Brady, 2-on-2. And
was that like in place of when the Masters was supposed to be?
It was in place of one of those majors. It's basically they took time off because no one knew what to do with COVID. Yeah. And then they started figuring out protocols like golf courses. People started realizing probably one of the, if they're going to open things up, one of the safest things because you can socially distance, you're outside, like all these things make sense. So they started figuring that out. And then, you know, sporting events, they have testing, like instant testing and stuff. And so they started doing the little tournament things like that to get the idea of how they could do the big boy stuff. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I just wanted to double check on some of that stuff. I obviously I'm not a golf guy, but
I'm always here for you if you need to talk golf. It's not for everybody. It's expensive, but I absolutely love everything about it. I don't know why. It's one of those, I love team sports, but literally this is you against yourself. You can go play by yourself if you want, or you can play with 3 other guys. You can play in tournaments, whatever you want to do. There's so many ways to do it. So many different formats you can play in. I love everything about it.
Yeah. For me, it's like golf and hunting go into the same category. And it's not because, it's for 2 reasons. Number 1, they're both expensive. And number 2, they both start really, really early in the morning. And I don't
They're not made for you.
They're not made for me. I'm a late night poker tournament guy. 100%.
We'll go to Top Golf next time. That's a blast.
There you go. Yeah, Top Golf. We can go to where Mike Trout was launching all those bombs. That's right down the street from me.
Yep.
So yeah. Oh man, this game. But anyway, let's talk a little bit of baseball. We'll carry this into the next segment as well, Bubba. But we got the awards. The awards came down this week. And let's start out with Rookie of the Year, Devin Williams in the NL, obviously great relief pitcher for the Brewers this season. And then Kyle Lewis for Seattle wins it in the AL. Did you have any discrepancies with either of these Rookie of the Year awards?
The only one you could say is Lou Bob for the AL, but Lewis was awesome. His first half of the season was really good. Second half, he dropped off a bit, but overall product, he was still very, very good. Or Lou Bob dropped off a lot too. So I have no problem with what Devin Williams did was ridiculous. And I believe he was one of the first ever, or the first in a long, long time, who won the award with no win, or as not being a starter or a closer, basically. So no saves. I think he might have a couple wins because he was a middle relief or eighth inning guy. But what he did is ridiculous. Fantasy wise, is going to be really interesting to see where he gets drafted. But I have no problem with either one of them.
Yeah. I mean, just his. Last year, his K per nine was 17.7. This dude was insane. His ERA was 0.33. His where's this whip on here? His whip was 0.63. It was an incredible year. 27 innings pitched and 53 strikeouts to 9 walks. That is crazy.
It's almost 2 Ks an inning.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's nuts. This kid was great. And yeah, I thought he deserved it. I know the Welsh wanted Cronenworth.
He was well deserving too, but like you just named off those stats. Tell me a guy that's come close to that, like ever.
Yeah,
like, and Eric Gagne is the closest thing that makes sense, and he was a closer at least.
Yeah, and I like Cronenworth too, but I mean 4 homers and 3 swipes. Like that's the batting average is great, and he really stepped up when the Padres needed him to. And his fielding was good and everything too, and played all over the place and all that stuff. But we're talking about 2 strikeouts an inning,
crazy.
So not surprising. So, all right, well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit of Kyle Lewis as well. And we'll tell you about our terrible disappointment about the Cy Young Award, particularly in the National League. So stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid and the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. I am Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm joined by Casey Bubba at BD Entrick for him. We're talking about some baseball awards that came down this week. Kyle Lewis, we talked about him. Just a fantastic year. You know, 11 homers, 28 RBI, 5 swipes. He hit .262, kind of high strikeout rate, 34 walks to 71 Ks. But he put up numbers for this team, scored 37 runs as well. And he carried this team for a while. And they went with the full-on youth movement in Seattle in 2020. And it's looking promising.
Yeah, it's looking very promising. Yeah, the strikeout rate was high, but we've seen that for like the last 3 years or so with Lewis. What I like to see is the 14% walk rate from a young kid. That's outstanding. That's, you can definitely build off of that. So I think what he did this year is something you can kind of see like going forward. If he maybe a 25-ish to 30 homer guy, get you, you know, 15-ish stolen bases with a .260 to .270 averaging, is very legit. And that's very talented, you know, with the guys they got coming up with Klenick and others. That's it's a very big year. Like, they can have back-to-back rookie of the years, it looks like right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely within the realm of possibility. What about manager of the year? Kevin Cash and Don Mattingly in the AL and NL. Obviously, a lot of people upset with Kevin Cash, you know, for yanking Blake Snell. We've gone on the record. We get it. That's what they were doing the whole year. All that good stuff. But did you have any gripes about those, or did you like those picks?
No, they're fine. What, Kevin Cash, he's a great manager. Like, he should have won it the year before, and they gave it to him this year. So I have no problem with that. And then Donnie Baseball, what he did with that Marlins team was really impressive. They were real close to advancing to another round of the playoffs. Like, I give him a lot of credit, and he's not with the Dodgers anymore, which is even better. So, yeah, good for Donnie.
Yeah. So, I mean, Mattingly's no longer with the Dodgers, so we don't have to hate him. So I like that. How about the Cy Young Award winners here now? You know, Shane Bieber, 30 first-place votes, 210 points. Kenta Maeda was second. Ryu was third. Cole was fourth. In the NL, Trevor Bauer wins. Boo. 27 first place votes. He had 201 points. Darvish was second with 123. DeGrom third with 89. Did you have any gripes on Bieber or Bauer here?
Bieber, not at all. That was too easy. It made too much sense. He was awesome. The Bauer one, I don't have a gripe per se. Like, he was awesome this year. Love him or hate him, whatever. The dude pitched great. Like, there's no doubting that. To me, I wanted Darvish, but I wasn't going to argue either. I was actually more surprised, I think, that the gap was bigger, more first-place votes for Bauer. I thought it would have been a little closer, but it was between those two, and I wouldn't have argued either way. DeGrom wanted the three-peat. He just wasn't going to get it with those guys. So Bauer got it. Well-deserving. No problem with that. I wanted Darvish to get it, but I'll have to wait another year, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Bauer, a 1.73 ERA, a .79 whip in 73 innings.
He went deep in every game, like with double-digit Ks. He was just filthy.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what did it for him, was being able to go deep in games. And I think he even brought that up because it's not something that he's really done in the past, so he's kind of begging for it. And Darvish had one more start than Bauer. He had 12 starts, but you know, his ERA was good too, 2.01. His WHIP was under 1.98, 11 K per nine, and all that good stuff. But you know, I don't know. Like, you know, I heard Brian Kenny today talking about how the ERA was really what did it for him, for Bauer over Darvish. And I get that, but you know, he doesn't like wins, and I understand that. But wins
the
are terrible.
Analytical guy of Kenny was choosing ERA as the deciding factor.
I thought that's what he said. Maybe I'm off, but
no, probably did.
But like, if you want to go by, like you just mentioned, a deeper statistic and go by Sierra, it was 3.14 for Darvish and 2.94 for Bauer. So still, you know, 0.2 off. That's a big gap as far as those small numbers go. But I was a little surprised by that. But you know, Bauer had a great year, and there's no ways around it. I mean, you know, the Welsh and I don't like Bauer. We're Diamondbacks fans, and his exit from you know, the Diamondbacks was not very clean, I would say. And he had issues with Miguel Montero, who's a fan favorite out here and stuff, and his weird what's his stupid rap album from the Something to the Grave? I don't know. But
no idea.
Yeah, no, it's awful. And I don't know, but he endeared himself this year too by talking a bunch of smack about Rob Manfred when he was saying stupid stuff. So but now I don't know. Now it's less endearing, that stuff, because you know, not because of him, but because it's almost too easy to pick on Rob Manfred, right? Yep. That's like shooting fish in a barrel at this point. You know, just let the guy talk. He's going to say something stupid. Give him 5 minutes. He's going to say something that you roll your eyes at or is really, really dumb. So a little bit easier than we thought. But, you know, I hated this offseason and waiting for baseball to start, because I'm like, another thing that Trevor Bauer says that I have to say that I agree with, because it is the right thing. So that was getting a little annoying. But the MVP awards here, Freddie Freeman in the NL, Jose Abreu in the AL. I mean, great seasons for both these guys. They both definitely deserve to win. Did you like both those picks?
I'm ecstatic about it. Like Abreu, I'm a big Abreu fan. Always a value in fantasy. Mr. Consistency, everything you love about a player he is. And he was just awesome this year. 60 RBIs in 60 games. 317 with 19 home runs. This guy was a monster this year. Well-deserving of the award. I was worried he wouldn't get the love that he deserved. So I was glad to see him get it. And Freddie, man, like, we didn't think he'd play early in the season because of COVID. Like, he was talking about how bad it was for him. And then he just went gangbuster on the place. And literally, you know, Acuna had – it was injury was up and down. Ozzie Albies was up and down. You know, Ozuna was awesome, but maybe more in the second half. Freddie was the consistency that team needed to get to where they were. He was awesome, a guy that we've always waited to see this level, and we finally got it. So I have no problem with it. It gives you kind of a flashback to the old days, Boggs, when – first base was the power position, whereas the award position, and it's kind of gone away from that lately. Well, at least we get 1 year where, you know, two first basemen take down the trophies, and both very deserving. And I bet you at the beginning of the season, some maybe would have thought Freddie Freeman, probably not, especially that most of that probably had Acuna on that team.
Yeah,
but
no
one was picking Jose Abreu. And
right,
see him do that was awesome.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw Abreu was the very first World Baseball Classic. I remember he's playing for Cuba, and this was, you know, before everything was a little bit more settled with Cuba and all that stuff, and them talking about what a monster he was. And he had, if I'm remembering correctly, I mean, and, you know, look, that first World Baseball Classic was a long time ago, so there's a very good chance I couldn't be, but I remember watching him being very impressed and being excited when he signed with the White Sox and got going. So big ups to those guys. What about these guys that turned down and accepted qualifying offers, if we're just still here on the baseball subject? Because we had Bauer, Springer, Realmuto, LeMahieu all reject qualifying offers. I don't think there's any surprises there. No. Stroman and Gausman accepted theirs. I guess I was a little surprised initially that Gausman got a qualifying offer. But, I mean, you watched him. What do you think of Gausman?
Well, that was just Farhan playing Farhan things. It's one of those – he was awesome last year. We said it even going into last season, the little changes he made towards the end of the year when he was traded to the Reds, his pitch mix changes and everything. We saw a different pitcher, and he carried that over to San Francisco. And as the year got on, he got even more comfortable. So I have no problem with it. I think it was just smart of – I was surprised he accepted it, because I figured he'd want to do what some other guys have done and maybe go get a multi-year deal, maybe a little less per season, but guarantee like a three-year deal, say $33 million or $40 million or something, still less than the $18 a year, but get locked up for a more of a long-term deal. So that's why Farhan did it, because it's like, okay, we're still rebuilding for another year or two, so that $18 million doesn't crush the team.
Right.
But if he leaves, we get a draft pick. So it's like one of those, like, you got to make the move. So I like it from both sides. I'm cool to have him. If the season's rough, we trade him, still get what we want. Like, I'm cool either way with that. The Stroman one surprised me. It kind of makes me wonder, is he a little more banged up than we think? Because I'm not saying he's worth $18 million a year, but I figured you can get a long-term deal out of him. So that one surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, during the offseason, when, you know, pitchers start to fly off the board first, they're given enormous contracts, and, you know, they're hard to come by, so they get a ridiculous, you know, Brinks trucks backing up for them to go play in different cities, and I think that's why he got the qualifying offer. I like that you brought up the point about maybe he's more banged up than we thought, because he did, you know, we didn't see him pitch this year because he went through the summer camp and all that stuff. And as soon as he's eligible to dip and get his contract, he did, which is smart by him. You know, I know there's a lot of people that were very upset by that move, but, you know, why don't you worry about your own wallet? Like, exactly. That's my thing with that is don't worry about him. And by the way, the Mets are going to be fine. They just got sold for whatever, $3 billion. So
and everybody saw that press conference with their new guy. They're all giddy, like there's hope for the Mets. But just remember, you're always the little brothers of the Yankees.
Well, that's why I felt maybe he took the offer was, all right, look, being here was rough last year. It was kind of messy. I didn't really like it. Obviously, I think he preferred Toronto, but with new ownership coming in and him then sweeping out everybody from the front office and bringing in new people to, you know, just be better. I think he goes, well, look, I can see how this plays out for a year on a one-year deal. I'm going to make 18.9. That's not chump change. So I'll take it. And maybe he can stick around in New York if the culture changes enough to his liking. I mean, look, Stroman is a fiery guy anyway,
and he's got his own businesses, his own clothing lines. Where else would you want to be, New York or LA? Very simple. So I get benefits in many ways.
Very, very true. So a little interesting baseball talk here tonight. We are recording before the Thursday night football game is over, or actually during it, but so we're not going to bring that to you, but when we come back, we're going to talk about Bubba's bets for week 10 in the NFL season and brag about his bets from week 9, not mine for sure, but we'll be right back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In This League.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Also on the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. Bubba, it's time to pick some NFL games this week for week 10. Now, last week, and remember, at BDentric on the Twitter for Bubba, 5-7 against the spread. Not great, but you're still over 500 for the year. You're five games over. 11-1 on over-unders this week. The only one that you didn't get was Tampa Bay and New Orleans, because Tampa Bay couldn't score any points at all. You're 70-53 on the over-unders this year, and you have surpassed me, because I was leading us in everything on my against the spread picks. I am 68-55 because I went 4-8 this week. It was not a good week for me. So, but congrats on 11-1. That's huge, man.
Thank you. And also, we'll not walk over this either. That was my second parlay hit of the season as well.
Oh yeah. I didn't even notice.
Yeah. So I had the Atlanta over, the Vegas over, and the Miami over.
So. I would be surprised if you picked anything else but over unders in your parlays moving forward, because 11-1 is enormous. So I'm kind of nervous to see if you're picking the same overs as me this week. But let's kick it off here. We start Houston at Cleveland. Cleveland is a 3.5-point home favorite. 49.5 is the over in that game. What say you, Bubba?
This is wild that Cleveland's over a field goal favorite at home, but Houston's defense, very bad. The weather looks kind of nasty here, too. So I'm going to take Cleveland minus 3.5 and the under 49.5.
Cleveland and the under. I did take Cleveland and the over. I think that weather, there's no way it can be that horrific.
25 mile an hour up to 40 mile an hour gusts.
Really? Because
like that, when I like look, that Cleveland Oakland game.
All right. You know, game. I'm going to switch mine to under because I had over earlier in the week, but I thought that it said, and this is what I warned everybody about too, specifically starting Deshaun Watson this week, is that the last time we had a game in Cleveland and there's supposed to be weather, they said 20 mile an hour winds and then the gusts were 50, but it was supposed to be gust up to 22, 23 last time. And now if the gusts are up to 40, I didn't see that. So
here's the report I read this morning. It's probably a bit early to be throwing out specific numbers since this will change by Sunday, but sustained winds, 25 miles an hour with wind gusts around 40 as well.
Well, I mean, if it's going to be anywhere close to 20, that's when things start to change. Yep. Exactly. So, and there's some wins in the Green Bay game too, but we'll get to that in a second. Philly at the Giants. Philly is a 3.5-point favorite. 44.5 is the over on that game.
Give me the New York Giants plus 3.5 just because there'll be just enough turnovers in this one. But give me the over 44.5 as well, because somehow between good field position on turnovers and whatnot, we'll get some points.
I took Philly, and I know the Giants have been covering lines.
Philly's getting healthier too, though.
Yeah, but that's it. Philly is getting healthier, Rager is going to be all the way back this week. Miles Sanders is going to be back. I just like them. I like them moving forward for this division. We can talk all the smack about this division, but I think it's going to end up being Philly's at the end. So we'll see. And then. Let's go to Carolina, Tampa Bay at Carolina. Tampa Bay is a 5-point favorite. 50.5 is the over here. Angry Tampa Bay team, but Carolina is scrappy. So who are you taking here?
Carolina is very scrappy. I've been taking them a lot this year to the detriment or anger of some, but give me Carolina plus 5 in this one. They'll keep it within distance at home, but give me the over. I think it's not quite Kansas City Carolina-esque, but there's going to be a little back and forth in this game. Like the Tampa Bay wins, but not by 5.
I think Tampa Bay comes here angry. They got embarrassed on national television, and Tom Brady does not let that stuff sit very well. So I picked Tampa, but I went with you on the over. I think there's going to be a ton of points in this game. Should be a fun one to watch. By the way, this week, did you see that the schedule's kind of broken up where it's, there's more afternoon games than early games. So,
What a concept, NFL. I guess the first time they've done this is 2017. This should be weekly. Like, how hard is this?
It really should be. Yeah, and you know what? They'll take a look at those numbers, too, to see if they're good. But I hate the three-game slate in the afternoon. I'm watching football all day regardless. So, yeah.
Now when you get stuck with, like, one game that stinks because you have no other choice, that's when it stinks.
Yeah, that's very, very true. How about this game? It's funny because you can still get this on FanDuel Sportsbook, but I've seen others take it down because we're still waiting on to see if Matt Stafford is good from his, brain injury, like the Welsh and I were talking about earlier. He's in concussion protocol, but Washington at Detroit. Detroit, a 4.5-point favorite. There's no over-under on this game because of that info, but are you going with Washington or are you going with Detroit minus the points?
Well, it's like if it's Stafford, I want Detroit. If it's not Stafford, it's a really tough decision. So I'll take Detroit minus 4.5 because Alex Smith's still Alex Smith. Let's be honest about it. So give me Detroit minus 4.5, but I'll take the over, whatever it is. I'll take the over in this game.
I'll take, that's a little surprising taking the over. I think because Stafford has not played like I thought he was going to be. I mean, I was very big on Stafford coming in to this season, has not performed the way I thought he was going to at all. Kenny Galladay is still out. That run game's a mess. I kind of like Washington. I think they're a little underrated here. You know, Alex Smith is not great, but hopefully he's not going to turn the ball over three times like he did last week. And if he does, Haskins will come right back in. So I think this is going to be a tight one regardless of who starts for Detroit. Jacksonville at Green Bay. Green Bay, a 12.5 point favorite, biggest line of the week. 50.5 is the over on this one. Like we said, a little bit of wind in this one. I think this one is projected to be 20 mile an hour winds as well. How are you looking at this game?
Little wind, little rain, Lambeau Field, Green Bay by at least two touchdowns and the over. Aaron Rodgers, this isn't going to scare him. Give me Green Bay, give me the over.
This makes me nervous. We're going opposite on a lot of these. I took Jacksonville. I've been getting hammered on these.
You like big Luton records. Or Lutton, whatever his name is?
I don't, but I don't think there's any difference between Luton and Minshew. They're the same dude, you know. So Minshew runs a little bit better, but the Luton and Minshew are probably just about the same as far as arm strength and accuracy and all that stuff goes. So I'm not high on Luton. I just keep getting crushed on these big lines. So it's I'm going to take Jacksonville. And I took the under because of the weird weather stuff going on there. So, and this is one where if it goes your way and Green Bay wins by two touchdowns, I think that means Jacksonville scoring nothing. So that's why I also take the under, kind of hedging. This one's a tough one to pick, and Joe and I were opposite this week. Buffalo at Arizona. The Cardinals are 2-point home favorites. 56 is the over. Biggest over of the week here, not surprising.
Buffalo outright, so Buffalo plus 2. The over-under is tricky. That's a big number, but I'm going to take the over. I think both teams can still move the ball in this one. Buffalo's defense is good, but Kyler Murray and those legs do a lot of damage. Kirk's been important. Hopkins will have a big game after last week's getting shut down. They'll force feed some stuff over there. Give me Buffalo. Give me the over in this one.
I would take the home team regardless. So that's why I took the Cardinals. I think this one is really close. I wouldn't be betting this game, that's for sure. I also took the over, though. I think there's going to be a ton of points scored. We saw Cardinals defense couldn't stop anything last week. It seems
they're a really talented team.
It seems like Josh Allen got off the schneid against Seattle, but also
a lot of people
Seattle
get off the schneid against Seattle.
Yeah. They're projected to give up 5,000 passing yards this year. It's ridiculous. So I took the Cardinals, but I'm with you on the over. Denver at Vegas. Vegas 4.5 point favorites. 50.5 is the over in that one.
Man, this is one where I should probably take Denver, but I'll take Las Vegas minus 4.5. But more importantly, I love the over in this game. Love the over.
Love the over. Okay.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of offense in this game. Vegas over.
I took Las Vegas. I took the under because it keeps taking Drew Lock to the fourth quarter to do anything. So I'm nervous about him having one of those games where it you know, you get to the fourth quarter and he just still isn't showing up. It could be one where he shows up in the first quarter, though. So he's the next Kirk Cousins. He's obnoxious. Your Miami Dolphins, 2.5 point home favorites against the Chargers. 48.5 is the over on this one.
Miami's won 4 straight games for the first time since 2016. They're about to make it 5 this week, and Tua goes to 3-0 in his career. Miami minus 2.5. Give me the over as well. Herbert versus Tua is going to be a fun one. A lot of storylines in play, but Miami over.
We're back. Lockstep. I got Miami in the over, too. Should have listened to you last week. Miami won straight up against Arizona, and they look good doing it, too. So, yeah, give me the Dolphins and give me the over. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a 6.5 point favorite. Obviously, Ben in not concussion protocol, COVID protocol, but he should be ready to rock by Saturday. They're going to run an extra practice on Saturday. Usually, it's just a walkthrough, but they're going to have a more extended practice because he missed it all week. 45.5, the over here. How do you see this one going?
I'm going to take Cincinnati plus the points. I think it's Pittsburgh on paper should dominate them, but we said that last week.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take Cincinnati on the points, maybe a backdoor cover type thing. Pittsburgh should be in control in this game, but give me the over. I think there will be some points on both sides in this one.
We are also lockstep on that game. Look, the Bengals have looked good 3 weeks in a row.
Joey covers.
Yeah, Pittsburgh has not looked good. So, yeah, I'm absolutely with you on that one. San Francisco at New Orleans. New Orleans, a 9.5 point home favorite after dominating Tampa Bay. 48.5 is the over on that one.
Yeah, the Niners looked rough. They're going to get Bourne back. They're going to get Ayuk back. They still have Mullins at quarterback. New Orleans just dominated the world. The world saw them dominate Tampa Bay. But give me San Francisco plus 9.5. I'll take the points, try to run the clock out, try to bleed some time off there for Breeze. Give me San Francisco and the over.
San Francisco and the over. All right. This is one where, look, San Francisco's beat up, so I took New Orleans. They looked good last week, but this is definitely a letdown spot against an inferior opponent. Seattle at the Rams. The Rams are 2-point home favorites. 55.5 is the over in that game.
Yeah, like I think Seattle's a great football team. That defense is a freaking sieve. They still competed last week with 4 turnovers from Wilson. On the road, I still think Seattle gets back. Give me Seattle plus 2, but more importantly, this one will be points galore over 55.5.
Yeah, this one is another game I wouldn't bet because we've seen the Rams do the Jekyll and Hyde bit this year, you know, look really, really good and then look terrible. I mean, basically, they've looked the same that they looked in that very first game against Dallas, where one half they were great, one half they were bad. We've seen both of those forms of the Rams this year. But I took them at home, coming off a bye, all that stuff. I don't know. I hate this game. I wouldn't bet it. Baltimore at New England, excuse me. Baltimore, a 7-point road favorite, 43.5 is the over in that one.
Give me New England at home on Sunday night and the under.
New England just almost lost to the Jets. Okay. All right. Look, Lamar doesn't look right. Nope. So I don't hate that one at all, but I don't know, man. The Patriots look uninspired. They had to come back against the Jets. So, I mean, this should be what happened for Josh Allen against Seattle last week. Lamar should get against the Patriots, but who knows? That's why they play the games. The Monday night football game here, Minnesota at Chicago. Minnesota, a 2.5-point road favorite against the struggling Bears. 44.5 is the over in that one.
Give me Minnesota winning this by a field goal and the under 44.5.
Lockstep again in that one. I also took Minnesota and the under because the Bears cannot score any points at all. So that is going to wrap it up for this segment. We'll be right back with our last 3 minutes here where we will get Bubba's parlay and his pick to add to the ITL parlay of the week. So the only one that got any of it right last week, by the way, was Bubba. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
We are back. You hear Endless Love. You guys know what that means. It is the end of the 3-hour tour. Thank you to Bubba for coming on here at BDNtric. Remember, you can find all of his stuff over there on his Twitter at Bogman Sports for me. Please check out the ITL Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, where we've got baseball rankings. The Welsh has already done them. They're already up. He's got his prospects list up there as well. I'm doing Thursday night football streams and answering all your questions on GroupMe and Patreon. So please check it out if you would. Now, Bubba, a 3-team parlay this week. You nailed all those over-unders last week. Are you doing the same bit this week? What are we going with?
Over 50.5 Vegas Denver. Over 48.5 Chargers Dolphins. Over 55.5 Seahawks Rams.
Okay, so that's Las Vegas Denver over, Chargers Miami over, and then what was the last one?
Seattle Rams.
Seattle and LA. And what do you want to add to our parlay?
Let's do Chargers Dolphins over.
Chargers Dolphins over. All right, got it. So Las Vegas Denver, Chargers Miami, and Seattle and the Rams all overs. As the old saying goes, life is too short to bet the under, right? Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. It's always more fun when you bet an over because you want points to be scored.
You want to root for something. If you're betting the under, you're like, okay, I'm already winning before the game starts, but now I want a boring game to watch.
Yeah, the under also is like, it makes that the fourth quarter so nerve-wracking every single time, because you're like, they can't. Sometimes you just know, like, if the fourth quarter starts and you only got 8 points, you're like, well, this is done. Like, okay. Well, you know, at least two touchdowns are getting scored in the fourth. So I'm cooked on this one. So you got to be a little ways away from that to hit the under. That's why, everyone takes the overs. They're much, much more exciting. But that is it for us. Follow us on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at BD Entrick for Bubba, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. We'll be back next week with all of our picks for week 11. And, if Bubba might have to big time us if he goes 11-1 again. He might have to start selling these. So watch out for Bubba's Patreon for over unders next week. So check it out. But that's it for us. Have a great weekend, everybody. And we hope you win all your bets. Take it easy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.